with me in your Bibles into Luke chapter 6. Elbow your neighbor and tell them to turn as well. And I want to tell you briefly about what it's kind of set it up for you as Pastor Aaron delves into it. So Luke chapter 6 is the Sermon on the Mount or Sermon on the Plain. And I want to just say, starting in 6:20, we'll do this a couple verses and then we'll turn the video on. These are the Beatitudes. This means to be blessed or to be happy. And if you're reading these and you're looking at them, you go, how could somebody be happy in this situation here? Listen to what he says. 6:20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, I want to let you know that if you're in the kingdom of God, you already have everything that you need. God's already done something so extraordinary, something extra special. Anything you get from here is just a bonus. Anything else God does for me, he died on the cross for my sin. Anything else he gives me, breath in my lungs, it's just a bonus. Anything he's given me, it's just a bonus. I don't deserve it, but anything he gives me is just a bonus. Amen. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. I want to let you know that what the world needs, the hungry world, is not more chaos, confusion, fighting, hatred, tearing down. What we need to do is build up the country and build up his people today, and that's through the love of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Right on. I got to pause here for just a second because I was thinking about the outfit that I was going to wear, because I told everybody, I said, in honor of old school preaching and everything, I was going to wear white platform shoes and elephant bells, polyester pants. But I didn't, so just say I'm glad of that. You're not getting it. So we're going to be satisfied. I want to ask you a question. Close your eyes while you receive this, and then online as well. All the times before you were born again, you were searching for answers through men and women and alcohol and drugs, sex, rock and roll, and everything. Never was satisfied, always thirsty, always hungry, always wanting more. That more that you seek after today, I tell you, you can have because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Accept Jesus and you will be satisfied and you will thirst no longer. What the world is drinking don't fill me up anymore. And then the last one before I turn Pastor Aaron loose on this deal. You go ahead and drop the lights down. Blessed are you when people... I don't know if I can... Blessed are you, so it's happy, blessed, and happy is what beatitude means. When people hate you, and when they exclude you, and rival you, and spur your name on as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Listen to this, class. Rejoice in that day. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their father did to the prophets. Let me tell you this for just a second. We are to be truth tellers and truth seekers. Quit trying to please men. It'll never happen. Good, I'm glad you guys said that, because the other church was like, what? Trying to change people's mind is not what God's called you to do. The world's trying to do that. They run up and down the streets, Terry. They burn things. They tear things up. Scream and holler, rant and rave, trying to change people's minds. Now, I got to let you know this. You know, sometimes people ask me some silly questions, Tim. They ask me, what's going on in like Brenneman's mind right now? I go, I have no idea. I got my own issues right now. God didn't call us to change their minds. He said, present the gospel to them, and I'll change their heart, and then in turn, their mind will be changed. That's what needs to happen. We need to have spiritual heart surgery today, church, is what we need. We need a thirst to come back to the Lord. He says, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. Let's roll the video.
Hey, guys, Pastor Aaron coming to you here from our Westport campus. And I just wanted to share a little bit of a testimony that my wife and I had this week, earlier this week. And I hope it encourages you and your family. And I want to share some scripture that God put on my heart today. Luke 6, 37 and 38 says, judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And guys, you've all heard that great scripture before. Back to the testimony for me and my wife. We were able to bless some people this past week, and just because we knew that's what God was putting on our heart. God has been blessing us, and like Pastor Pat says, we didn't keep our fists clenched. We keep them open. That way we can pass that blessing on to other people. Well, like I said, we were able to bless a few different people. And then that very next day, God blessed our obedience, and he blessed us double what we were able to bless everybody else with. So again, we did it because God was telling us to do it. He put it on our hearts. And then his word does not return void. And sure enough, that next day, God blessed us for being obedient and doing what he wanted us to do for his kingdom. And man, it was just such a joy to me and my wife. My wife was in tears. And just when you think God can't get any bigger or bless you anymore, he does over and over again. So guys, I just want to encourage you and your family. Keep following the Lord. Keep keeping him first in your life. And sometimes, like Pastor Pat says, it's not always finances, or maybe it's health or forgiveness. Whatever you sow, you will reap, and God's word will not return void. So guys, keep on fighting the good fight. See you guys soon.
Oh, I'll ask the ushers and the deacons to come forward. So let's expound just a little bit more. We got plenty of time on this scripture that Pastor Aaron was talking about. And starting back in 6:24, it talks about all the woes or the stops or the halts. And then fast forward into verse 35. This is where we'll start our tithes and offering message. And Pastor Aaron was talking about, love your enemies and do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. And that's what I've been kind of teaching Pastor Aaron for years and years and years and his family. When I met Pastor Aaron, he wasn't born again. He wasn't saved. I met him in the parking lot of our little building over here in Bridgeton. And he reminded me of myself, sitting out in the parking lot, swearing up and down he'd never come inside a church. Well, here's the deal. If they won't come inside the church, we need to go out and get them. Amen. But here's the deal. He says, when you lend to someone, don't expect it back. When you give somebody some money, don't expect it back. The reason they need it is because they're broke. And God doesn't want to set you up for failure because he knows that could cause dissension between you and a family member. When me and my wife decided to quit lending money, man, things really got good, not only at church but in our own household. So now if we feel like someone needs to be blessed, we give it to them and we don't ever expect it back. And here's the deal. If you don't have it to lend, don't give it. And don't feel obligated to either. Love your enemies and do good. Lend expecting nothing in return. and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Praise the Lord for that. It ain't my job to judge you, and it ain't your job to judge me. And his people said, amen. I don't have to worry about that. That's God's job. That's too complicated for me. That's where the world has gone wrong. We're trying to judge everybody that we see. We're trying to categorize them into religion, into race. And this, I want to let you know right now, there's only one race. It's the human race, and God created it. Amen. Yeah. Only one race. Give, and it will be given to you. Say this with me. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap, for with the measure you use, what? It will be measured back to you. On that note, let's pray. So, Father God, we pray for the offering today. We pray, Lord God, that we don't store up all our treasures down here on earth, Lord God, that any prayer, any finances, any effort that is sown into your kingdom is something that will last forever. We pray, Father God, today not only for the offering but for the message. We pray for the Lord's Supper. We pray for crusty hearts to be softened. Those who need to be born again will seek you out as we give you the glory ahead of time for all this happening. And we pray this in thy name, O Jesus. Amen. Can you clap real loud today for the Lord? Hallelujah. Let it be picked up. Acts chapter 4, old school. Say old school. Yell at your neighbor. Say old school, I said. They need to bring that back. Amen. Maybe not so much. I was thinking about the parachute pants and the multi-zipper jackets and everything. Leg warmers. Big hair. Spray that joker up. Big hair. It's like it comes in the room like 5 minutes before y'all do. Stoned washed jeans and jacket. Wore it like a banner. Stone wash. What were they thinking then? Acts chapter 4. So let me tell you a little bit about this. I'll preach a couple verses, and then I'll tell you what's going on here. So this is about as old school as you can get. This is how the church started out. If you ever want to know if your church is doing the right thing, go back to the book of Acts. It's very, very self-explanatory. A lot of times people are very concerned or worried about the things that we're supposed to do in America and the things that we're supposed to follow. Here's the deal. I just say follow the Bible, and all the rest of it will work out. Don't get involved in the arguments and all these kind of things. And some people are burning up a lot of energy and burning up a lot of time, and they're building it up in hatred and instead of knowledge and love. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed. Oh boy, these are the religious nut jobs of the church. The Sadducees and the Temple of the Guard and the know-it-alls. So you say, what's the deal here? Acts chapter 3 tells you that there was a beggar that was set outside the temple gate. Set outside the temple gate. He sat out there, and it tells us, Mitch, that he was there. He's 40 years old. And I'm going to put a knock on religion here real quick, so... That's what I have found out, that worldly and or religious people or institutions will do for those who need Jesus the most. So this guy, if you go back into chapter 3, Peter and John were walking up to the gate, and he prayed for this beggar who was lame, and he sprung to his feet. He jumped up to his feet. He heard the name of Jesus. He felt the power of the Holy Spirit. And he sprang up and started praising God. Now, if you've ever been delivered from something, I just want you to say amen. I don't care what it is. If you've been delivered from it, it's by Almighty God in the wonder-working power of his Holy Spirit. So what keeps people from being excited about the Holy Spirit moving in their life? And you'll read as we go on in this. So these guys, they're in church, and sometimes church or church services where there's not the Holy Spirit kind of looks like a library, people sitting on their hands and afraid to praise God. I told you about that. I never did like the library. I never did like school for that matter. But you're in the library and somebody, librarian or the hall monitor of the day, would always go, say it with me, shh. Did you ever sit behind somebody at church and they're like, shh, turn around and go, quit spitting on me. So this is what happens when the Holy Spirit is not around and not involved in a church service. I've told people before, you might as well just have a college professor give you a lecture if the Holy Spirit's not there. That's all you have. Back to chapter 4, verse 2, say this with me, they were greatly annoyed. Say it like you want to get back in. They're greatly annoyed at you. I have Bible people the way you guys look and ranking and all the trophy kids. They're greatly annoyed at you. I don't like the way you praise God and getting involved in the Holy Spirit and start loving people and praying for people and putting hands on people and casting out devils. We don't believe that anymore. That was an apostolic gift, and God took it back. I asked somebody to give me a list of the things that God has taken back, and no one's ever taken me up on that yet. So we believe that all the gifts are still readily available as they were in this church, and God's people said amen. So if these are all available for us today, why aren't we asking for them? Because we don't want to annoy anybody. We want to be friends with everybody. Remember this, I told you before, you will annoy someone when you get out of bed. Just make sure it's not God, pilgrim. That was a little John Wayne there at the end. Just tell me not to do it again and I won't. They're greatly annoyed, nature boy, at these people. What's the deal here? You guys are free. You love the Lord. You're getting involved in the political process. Oh, don't say that. You're not supposed to talk about politics in church. And where are you supposed to talk about it at? We're talking just me and my wife. We're really happy about it. Yeah, we can tell. Greatly annoyed because they're teaching the people and proclaiming, listen to this class, in Jesus, the resurrection from the dead, and God's people said amen. We claim it, we believe it, and we put our trust in it. He died on the cross for our sins and was raised 3 days later. He conquered the grave, so we can too. He beat sin, so we can too. He died so we can live. I said he died so we can live. Abundant life. Sounds like the Holy Spirit's starting to stir his people. Resurrection of the dead. Now watch this. Verse 3. Terry, listen to this. And they arrested them. They come in. Here's the deal. They're going to come in your church and they're going to arrest you. They're going to arrest you, Pastor. They're going to get you. They've been saying that for years to me. Pastor, what are you going to do when they kick down the doors of the church and come in and get you? Here's what I said. I've been preaching in the same church for almost 20 years, and I'm still preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and will continue till He gets me out. Nobody else. Quit worrying. Quit being a scaredy cat. Do they even use that anymore, scaredy cat? I'm going old school again. They arrested them and put them in custody. So you got to thinking about this and go, these were just supposedly ordinary people. And they're putting them in custody because here's the deal. These freedom-loving people, these freedom-loving church-going people, Holy Ghost-filled people, we don't know what to do with you. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to lock you up. Well, let's see how that works out. Verse 4 says, but many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. So that's 5,000 men, and maybe their wives and maybe their kids who got saved because these guys, John and Peter, these fishermen, were out preaching the word of God. And that's what God's called us to be, as fisher of men, not keeper of the aquarium. Mark that down. That was good. I surprise myself sometimes. Here's what we want, Pastor. We don't want anybody else in this church. Just this. It can fit in this aquarium right here. That's not what God says. He wants you to be fishers of men and love everybody, even if they, watch this, even if they don't look like you. Can I keep preaching? On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together. So here's all the smart people of the church. Here's the religious fanatics of the time. With Ananus the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander. And these are the guys that had all the money. These guys had all the money. They had all the money. Sometimes people think when they got all the money, they got all the answers. But here's the deal. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have anything. And they didn't know Jesus. They didn't know about Him. They had stacks of cash. Did you see how cool that was? They had stacks of cash, and verse 7 says, and when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power, by what name did you do this? Then Peter, what does it say, class? Filled with what? The Holy Spirit said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man is standing before you well. And God's people said, amen. It's by the name of Jesus. By the name. Hey, good God, by the name of Jesus. Hey, let me tell you something real quick before I forget. You can talk about God, Terry, all day long. God, 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 God. Yes, God. Because we don't know what God we're talking about. Say the name of Jesus and watch people squirm. I was somewhere with a friend from the church the other night. And we was ordering some food. What a surprise, huh? Asked me, said, what would you order? The only thing I always order, steak. If you're going out to eat, don't take, you know, a lot of times, this is a sidebar. Let me take my glasses off. If we're going to a restaurant, don't order me a salad, please. I don't want to fill my stomach with grass. I want a piece of meat. And we sat down, me and this friend who goes to this church. And maybe this person's watching online. Maybe this is why I'm saying I haven't said in any of the services. And I asked this young lady, I said, how was your day today? And she looked at me with her head, John, almost cocked. And she said, what did you say? I said, how was your day today? She says, nobody ever says that to me. She said, as soon as they sit down in that chair right there, they demand or always ask. get this for me or ask for this. They never ask me how my day is. And then me and this friend, I looked at this young lady and I said, "Can I pray for you?" And she just about fell over. Right in the middle of the restaurant, she said, "Yes, I do. I would like you to pray because I'm taking care of my dad now." Amen. Can anybody relate? Wouldn't you, I mean, I'm going to ask you this. Close your eyes for just a second. Wouldn't you like somebody to come up to you and just say, "Can I pray for you today?" Now, let's think about that. Open up your eyes for a second. Don't you think the whole world would be changed if we just prayed for those people that God set before us? That's our job, and that's our responsibility as Christians, is to pray for a lost and dying world. And this person that was sitting next to me, they go, "Man, that is so awesome." And here's what I always say. Here's the deal. If it wasn't for God, I would have never prayed for you, because I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't care how your day went. I'd be so consumed with my day. Amen. And then that what the world is struggling with right now is their stuff. So then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders, slide down to verse 11. It says, this is this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you." He said, "You know what? This guy, this God that we're being saved by, you guys rejected him and you guys put him on the cross. The builder, which has become the cornerstone," in verse 12 says, "and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And God's people said, "Amen." Amen. There's no other name. Wow, Pastor, that's really narrow thinking. I thought all roads lead to heaven. Listen to me, class, there's only one road that leads to heaven, and it's a narrow road. And it is paved by our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Now I'm going to jump over to my King James Bible, because there's a couple of points that I need to make here. So right after he says there's salvation, Brad, in no other name, in verse 13, listen to this. So these are the religious fanatics. These are the religious nut jobs. These are the people that have all the money. In verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," fishermen, they got fish guts on their boots. They got cow doo-doo on their boots. They don't have fancy church clothes. Maybe at this time, Big Steve, they were wearing the very best they had. That's all they had. Here's the deal. If that's all you got, come into this church. You're always welcome here. Amen. Hold on for a second there, partner. King James says, "And they perceived in their brains that they were unlearned and ignorant men." Stand up with me, all you guys, for a second. I want you to look at some unlearned and ordinary men or women. And I'll ask you, Ashlyn, to come up, and the pastors and the deacons to come down. We got a ways, but I want to make sure I'm making the point here. So just kind of look across, and it's going to be story time here in a second. So Terry and Trudy, hold on for just a second. "They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Hold on, Ray Michelle, hold on. These people are marveling at you guys right now, that you have so much love in your heart. You may not look the part. Yeah, may not look the part. I'll tell you what, he really doesn't look like a Christian. I'm checking the boxes today, and I seen what you drive, and I seen what you wear. He said, we can't deny it. It's hard for me to, hold on for a second, it's hard for me to conceive it, but I can't deny it. Because you guys are here anyways. See, up here in the natural mind, Barb, it doesn't register. Woo! And she was the one that asked me the question. There was 38 of them right here in this sanctuary. She said, we hear that you got a bunch of tattoos. I said, I do. But I can tell you, I told her. I love Jesus as much as anybody does. So, I'm going to ask those people to come down here today. All my senior members of the Craig Road Church, as I finish the story. And just, you can sit right here. Special effects for a special service. Come on down. You know who you are. You can bring Grandma down if you can. Come on. Just take the chair anywhere you can. Sit down. Preferably up here where they can see you. Come on, Barb. Come on, Dimple. Right here. Senior members, come on. Come on. Yeah. Watch this. Let's make sure they got a comfortable place to sit. These are the people who built the building that you're standing in right now. And there's many that aren't here. Why do you give the trophy kids a shot? Because they were spying on us when we was up the street in a little building up there. So what happened one day is I had to go before City Hall, Terry, and I said, hey, and they said, what's your business here at City Hall over in Bridgeton? I said, hey, I'm coming because I'm building a great big parking lot. Great big! Big! Well, who's going to help you build it? Well, I stuck my foot in my mouth there. I remember I was preaching one day, and I looked out the window, and I said, we're going to build a parking lot right out there. And I got in the car that day, Debbie, and my wife goes, why in the world did you tell all those people at that church you were going to build a parking lot? We don't have the money for that. We don't have $40,000 in our bank. I said, God does. So I told City Hall, I said, you tell me what I got to do. I'm going to do it because we need a parking lot. Because all the rest of these trophy kids are parking all over everybody's front yard. And then all of a sudden that night, I got a phone call. I couldn't remember if it was from Terry or Carl. And they said, hey, you know what we want you to do? We want you to bring those kids that you got up there. And we want to come down here. We got a great big building for you, a great big parking lot. And we'd love for you to join forces with our church right here. And and you said, well, what was the attraction? And it surely wasn't my hairstyle, I can tell you that. Although it's looking pretty good today. It's almost feathered. They seen that the group had been with Jesus. Nothing. Watch this. It was kind of like the same thing I remember back in the day when we went to get the loan for the building for the little church. Same thing. We walked in, I said, Who are you? It was me and Anita. I said, I'm Pat Rankin. Said, who are you? I'm the pastor of Have Bible to Travel. What? I said, I need $600,000. I said, hold on for a second. What'd you say? You know what the funny part of it was? They ended up giving it to us. Hold on. It gets better if you can believe this. They say, okay, well, we're going to give it to you because it doesn't appear that you owe anybody a nickel. How do you like that story? Then we end up selling that building coming up here. And to this day, we still don't owe anybody a nickel. So here's how the message goes forward. Verse 19. Well, Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and what we have heard. And what they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all of them were praising God. And the last verse here today, church, is this. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So that means this beggar sat at the gate for 40 years. Nobody invited him in. Nobody tried to, you know, I thought about this, and I don't know if I said this at this service or not, but religion will keep a guy bound up outside. That's what religion will do. Keep him out there. Let him beg. That's not what God called us to do. Let him sit outside. I wonder if there's a church out there for somebody that has needs that can help them with the gas or the electric or the rent if they fall on hard times. Yeah, Have Bible has such an account. It's called The Ride for Rocky. But see, that's not religion. That's relationship. We're concerned about people's well-being at this church. That's what God has called us to do. Religion encapsulate people and subjects them to begging. When you're in the kingdom of God, you don't have to beg. You just ask. So I'll leave you with this today. Have you asked Jesus Christ today to be your Lord and Savior? And you say, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and I'm going to ask you to do this with me. If you need to be born again, or if you need to confess something to the Lord today, I want you to just raise your hand before we partake in the Lord's Supper. I just want you to just say, hey, you know something? God, I got something on my heart I got to get off. Something has got me bound up. It's got me bound up. Somebody is eating my lunch out there right now, and it can be a family member. They said something about you. You're bound and shackled to finances. Raise your hand. You're bound and shackled to addiction, mental health. The devil is trying to isolate you, church. You need to tell the devil, it ain't going to happen, Jack. I'm in church today with people that love me, that people are praying for me, that people want to help me. I don't have to beg. I just ask. I raise my hand to God. Oh, help me, Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to be bold just like Peter and John today. If you got your hand raised, I want you to come down here. We're not going to ask you anything. We're just going to pray for you. Just come down. I seen your hand raised. We're not going to ask you. Just come down here. We're going to pray for you. That's that business between you and God today. Would you applaud somebody for being bold today, for heaven's sakes? All we're going to do is pray. And I'll bet Barb and Dimple and everybody else, Terry and Trudy and Linda, I bet you never believed, ever, ask them, ever believe that this church would be full of the Holy Spirit and people repenting. It's all by the hand of God. It's all by the work of the Lord and the movement of the Holy Spirit. God can transform anybody, can heal anybody at any time. He has no limitations. Here's the deal today, church. He loves you. He loves you right where you're at. He loves you. Now let's pray for him. Heavenly Father, for my friends and my brothers and my sisters and the moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, in the name of Jesus. Church, I said in the name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Heal these people today. Deliver these people today. We give you glory today, Father God, for your love, for your power, for your forgiveness, for dying on the cross, for rising 3 days later, for sending your son Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it feel good to be in the house of God today? Oh, Jesus. Tell the devil you're drawing a line in the sand today, Jack. You got to draw a line in the sand. We're not going to be depressed anymore. We're not going to be broke anymore. We're not going to be addicted anymore. We're not going to struggle with our marriage anymore. We're not going to struggle with finances anymore. We're done. We're done. We're done. We're giving it to God. I ask you, doesn't it feel to be free in God and free in America? As we applaud the Lord today, in his mighty name, God's people said amen.